Hello and welcome to Mohawks Meet the Team series, a podcast dedicated to the team behind creating the strategy title, Old World. We'll get to know more about the team and their work on the project.
This week we're joined by Derek, a programmer for Mohawk Games, and he tells us about his childhood growing up in Brooklyn, the unique way in which he joined the team, and much more, so stay tuned. Hello and welcome to the show, Derek.
Hello, it's good to be here.
And we're glad to have you. So what I'd like to do is start off by asking you about where you grew up. So could you tell me about where you grew up?
Grew up in New York, Brooklyn in particular. So actually not too far from where Tom grew up, just a few years apart. Basically been here all my life, except for college and grad school. I was elsewhere. But other than that, it's basically been New York and Baltimore when I was at the office.
All right, so forgive my ignorance, because I know that Brooklyn is a part of like the larger city, but like a lot of people say Brooklyn, and I just imagine this like very urban downtown New York City area. Is that what it's like, or is it more? I mean, just tell me a little bit more what it's like. I just don't know.
It's not really all that urban in most parts of New York, except like Manhattan. Brooklyn's just like it's very residential for the most part. It's a lot of houses next to each other. Imagine suburban, except without all the lawns and stuff, just packed together houses more tightly.
Okay, that's a better picture. All right, and is it more like row homes, or are there townhomes? Are there actually like single family homes?
I guess it depends on the neighborhood. I grew up in a two family home, and like everything in this area is basically that.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes more sense to me. I really appreciate it, because I've always heard that, and I've always had this idea of what Brooklyn meant, and now I know really what Brooklyn is. So what brought you to Brooklyn? Your family grew up there too?
Yeah, basically they've been here for a long time, for a while before I was born. But yeah, basically been in and around Brooklyn. I've only lived at this one place in Brooklyn though.
Got you. So what was growing up in Brooklyn like?
It's a good question. It's hard to really answer that, since I don't really have a frame of reference for growing up anywhere else. No, it was very normal, I suppose. Schools within walking distance, well, elementary schools within walking distance. Other schools had to take the bus to one, the subway to another. But like, just the neighborhood is pretty calm, like park nearby, there's room to play outside, but just have to be more mindful of the street, since that's all more tightly packed together.
Right. So from what I understand, most people just don't drive in New York, right? Like you try to get around on public transportation?
Yeah, for the most part, it's a lot of places it's more convenient just to take public transportation. It's cheap and easy. I personally have yet to get my driver's license, which caused me some problems when I moved down to Baltimore, but I made it through.
Yeah, that's something I've noticed, that people that come down from the city usually don't have a license, which is just weird. Like even, you know, in their late 20s, early 30s, they can come down because they just never needed one. So that's pretty cool. I mean, as you grew up in the city, did you get to play outside, or is it just different? I mean, as you're a little bit more urban, where do you play as a kid?
Sometimes it's just like hanging around on the porch. Like this area, everyone has a porch. So just kids on the block, just in whatever area like that. Sometimes just throwing a ball around on the sidewalk, across the street, when there aren't any, just have to keep an eye out for the cars. But there are like a few playgrounds, parks nearby, just a few blocks away. So like if you ever needed more room, there's definitely options for that.
And I also imagine video games too, right? You played video games growing up?
Oh yeah. That was definitely part of my life for pretty much as far as I can remember. Yeah, I used to have a Nintendo N64 growing up, and that just took a lot of my time. Computer games as well. Age of Empires, Civilization. Just all sorts of things.
And did that affect what you end up going to school for?
And no, actually. For the longest time, like, I just didn't actually see, like, making games as a real career that people did. For some reason, it just never clicked to me that that was a viable option. I did go to school initially for computer science, but I kind of dropped that after my first year. It just started seeming like something that, hey, it felt like there are people that like were really talented at it. And it never quite got to that level for me, even though it was something that I understood well and that I kind of enjoyed working with.
So what did you end up going to school for?
I ended up sticking with economics and public policy, actually, which you know, is a bit off the track of where I am now.
Yeah, well, I was actually about to ask if it was the math, because I remember I spoke to somebody else here at Mohawk Games, and they said that the math is what got them. So they were like, no, I don't want to do this computer science stuff. So I was wondering if it was the same thing, but then you said economics.
Right, I actually don't mind the math so much. Like, there's a lot of, like, I actually almost enjoy part of the math, like just solving the problems, having the concrete answers. I don't know. Part of it might have been just where I was at the time. Like, this is sort of idea that there were all these problems in the world that I could maybe get involved in if I were looking into public policy type things. And like the economics was a tool to help with that.
So where'd that lead you? I mean, when you were done with school, where'd you go to school?
I went to Duke for undergrad. And eventually I went on to get a master's in public policy at University of Chicago.
Okay, so you ventured out a little bit. You got away from New York, you went down to Duke, and then you went to Chicago. And
you're kind of exploring different parts of the country.
That's really cool. Did you end up liking either of those?
Yeah, they're both pretty different in feel from New York, but they were nice places for sure. I wouldn't mind living in either place again.
All right, so you finished your degree, and what was your degree in? Was it in economics?
Yeah, I had a double major in college, so economics and public policy, and then the later degree was just public policy.
And where did you land after that?
I kind of just floated around for a few years. Like, it was a difficult time to be looking for a job in with public policy, just between the government like turnover and just kind of shrinking of government. There were fewer positions open, so there were a few quiet years before I started getting involved with Off World Trading Company and working there.
Okay, so you get a degree, and so there's a lull in employment, and that led you into getting into the Off-World Trading Company community. Is that what I understand?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Not really, like, Off-World Trading Company wasn't even something that was on my radar for a long time. Like, I haven't followed Soren as closely as a lot of other people, and it just kind of was something that popped up coincidentally for me. It didn't even seem like something that was necessarily going to catch my interest at first, but I just kept watching videos for it, and over time eventually started getting into it myself.
All right, and were you involved in the multiplayer community?
Yeah, that's pretty much where I got involved the most, just being a part of like the early streams that people were doing, just joining all the games there. And I think the involvement, like, really is early on is mostly just the community built around the forums. And just on a whim one day, after someone suggested starting a Discord server for Off-World Trading Company, and I just decided, you know, why not? Let's do that. Like, I've been on other Discord servers. It feels like a nice way to organize the community. So I just went and started it. And then things kind of grew from there.
Awesome. So were you a competitive player, or were you just there to have fun?
I am more competitive than I'd like to be.
Well, I was wondering too, because you have the economics background, and I was worried that maybe that kind of like fueled your desire to be pretty competitive about it.
It might have played some role. I'm not sure consciously how much it did, but I think just generally I'm competitive, and the Off-World Trading Company scene was just good for that, between the constant multiplayer games early on and all the tournaments that were organized.
And so how involved were you? I mean, like, were you winning these tournaments?
I've won a couple in my day.
That sounds modest. I have a feeling there's more to it than that.
Yeah, like, early on, there was a bit of a learning curve, like, just as I started later than a lot of other players. So it didn't go too great in the early going, but just playing against a lot of the big names in the community, even just Soren in particular, is just involved in the tournaments themselves. Like, early on, he was just near the top of the finishes constantly. So just being able to play against them for a while was interesting. And eventually I managed to be able to beat a lot of those players. And that was a nice change.
And did you beat Soren?
I have beat Soren at least a few times.
Yes. Oh man, you beat the man behind the game. That's awesome. So how did that go? I mean, like, set me up here. Like, he ends up being in some of these tournaments, I imagine. And of course, Soren being the designer of the game, he's probably pretty good. And you eventually beat him. And now what's like the meta like? Is Soren still involved? Are you still involved?
Not so much anymore. Soren did just play in a tournament just this past weekend, I believe. Yes, there are a lot fewer tournaments going on now, and I think both me and Soren are involved a lot less in the competitive play. Now, like, the best players are different than they used to be when I was really active there, but I can still compete.
Well, back when you did compete, like, who are some of the players that you were, you know, you were a little bit worried about who kind of run for your money?
Names that stand out. Early on, there was PB Head, there was Qubit 32, there was Zoltar, probably the best players in the community, Soren hanging right around there as well. By the time I started actually winning tournaments, it was mostly the same players. Eventually, Death Tacticus started showing up. There's a lot of other names too that are near the top. Now it's probably Cat. There's been a lot of really good players over the years.
Awesome. So is there a Steam achievement that says, like, you know, you've beaten Soren? Because there should be, and you should get it.
There is, in fact, one. That was something that people worked really hard on chasing down when it was first implemented. And I do, of course, have it, having beaten him. But yeah, there are a few fun achievements relating to that. There's Beat Soren, there's Avenge Soren. So just beating anyone that has beaten Soren. And those are all fun little things for the community to chase down.
Awesome. So do you have the Avenge Soren one as well?
I do.
That's awesome. Did you beat yourself?
Well, eventually, like, there's, especially with free-for-alls and other game formats, there's some degree of randomness. So there's a fair number of people who are able to beat Soren just because he's been very active in the community and a lot of people have had the opportunity. So there, as a result, there are also plenty of opportunities to avenge Soren.
That's cool. That's really cool. I had no idea about that. That's really cool. So tell me about how that landed you at Mohawk Games. I mean, so you start this Discord, you get this community going around Offworld Trading Company on Discord, and I feel like that kind of leads into you getting picked up by Mohawk. So tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, it was a bit of a long, convoluted process, but basically, early on, like, I was always, just part of being very competitive meant that I was constantly referring to, like, the source code of the game, just looking things up, trying to figure out how things worked. So as I became more familiar with that, started looking to modding a bit, worked on just all sorts of little things, just seeing what I can do with the game engine. And that's, I guess I don't know exactly how it came about, but eventually through some mixture of my involvement, I was asked to do some work on DLCs for Offworld. So that was the Blue Chip Ventures to start off. So just started designing and making some scenarios for the game. Blue Chip Ventures in particular was meant to be a sort of intermediate tutorial type of thing. So that was the first time I worked with Mohawk. From there, like, later on, there were a few other small DLCs. Eventually, working up to Europa Wager, which is a bit more recent and larger.
So you mentioned that you're a UI engineer. What exactly is your role with these games? Are you helping with some of the extra mechanics and showing maybe the player a better way to engage with them or use them?
Yeah, that's part of it. Like, there's a lot that goes into trying to figure out how to present mechanics to the player better, how to show information better. But to be fair, I don't exactly have a background in UI design. So it's just something that's more of a collaborative effort between me, Jason, Pastrana, and Soren, like all the other members of the team as well, just trying to figure out how to get this information across. In terms of, like, what I'm actually doing, it's a lot of just building up the layout of the UI, like just placing things on the screen in the right place, making sure the individual elements are actually doing what they're supposed to do.
Very cool. So can you tell me a little bit about the game now? Because, I mean, when last I played it, there was a couple DLC, and now it seems like there's like five or six. And I feel like the meta strategy and all that has changed probably quite a bit. I mean, how have you seen Offworld Trading Company evolve since, it started off and now to where it's got four, five, six DLC?
Well, it's definitely been a long journey. Like, I started playing somewhere in the middle of early access, and I think that was just a real good look at the process that Mohawk and Soren use for designing their games. Like, it's just a lot of iteration. Like, the way the systems for Offworld just changed so dramatically, just even month to month early on, is really interesting to see. Just and really gratifying as a member of the community is just seeing all our feedback kind of rolled into the project. And the game just kept getting better, even like when you're not really sure how these things work together. So early on, like the stock system was completely different. Like you would actually acquire your competitor's entire company. Like you would own their headquarters, all their buildings. It just became a kind of nightmare to manage. And that's all changed now. You have them as AI-controlled subsidiaries instead. Things like that. Just a lot of things that make the game easier to manage at a low level so that you can spare more of your attention at the high level. As far as all the DLCs go, some of them are just single-player campaign content scenarios, but all the new locations, they just really all change up the way you approach each individual game. Like, resources changing, the way the prices move, everything. Like, the production change. Just, you have to figure out how to make everything work. Like, there never is a build order for Offworld, which is one of the reasons why it's a game I liked so much. Just, it's always trying to figure out what's best in the moment, what can actually work.
Right, because as you start the game, you know, you kind of get a feel for what's around you and you just sort of base your strategies off that. And so with tournaments, I mean, just help me because I'm a little bit unfamiliar. Are the players given an idea of which DLC they're playing with, or is it kind of like, you know, a grab bag, like, here, well, we're going to play with Europa today? Or is it generally like given a heads up on what DLC is going to be incorporated in the tournament?
I think the most common format has basically just been a grab bag, just random locations or kind of cycling through them. So generally, you do have to be familiar with like all the locations and how to approach them. Europa less so, just because it's more recent and less balanced for multiplayer play in some sense. Like some of the factions are a little bit more powerful than others just by the nature of how the location works. But you generally do have to have some mix of familiarity with the locations. There are some tournaments that are like restricted to a single location, but those are generally either because we haven't played on that location much and we want, like, the community wanted to get a little more time in on those, or just when a new DLC is launched, like with the interdimensional DLC just recently. So the tournament this past weekend was just on interdimensional.
Oh, that's very cool. I think that'd be really a lot of fun. I wish I could be good at anything like that. So what is your role now? Are you still working on Offworld Trading Company, or have your responsibilities kind of shifted towards Old World at all?
The majority of my time these days is spent working on Old World. I do still keep an eye on Offworld. Like when I started with Mohawk, working full time, it was working on porting over a bunch of features for Offworld into Epic, because we're expanding that there. But after that, I'm pretty much just keeping an eye out for bugs, fixing any bugs. When there's new DLC, like with the interdimensional DLC, I'll just provide support for any contractors we bring on to help with making content. But otherwise, it's mostly spent doing Old World now.
All right, so Mohawk brought you on, and you start working with Offworld Trading Company, and I imagine maybe that was at first kind of a temporary thing?
Yeah, we were aware there were a few things with Offworld that Mohawk wanted to wrap up and get done before I moved over to Old World. Like, most of the team at that point was focused on Old World, so just having someone who was already familiar with Offworld that was able to get those last pieces in place while we continued to work on the other projects was part of the whole situation.
I got you. And then so you move over to Old World full-time. And what's been your main challenge now with Old World?
Well, like a lot of that was, as I mentioned before, I don't really have a background in UI design or any of that. So it kind of just started. There's a lot of process that kind of needed to be built from the ground up that I need to familiarize myself with all the systems and learn them. Because like for the first few months, it was definitely a process of just figuring out how I even do things. Things have gotten a lot smoother since, and it's really been rewarding learning all these different systems and how they work.
Yeah, and there's a lot of systems in Old World. So, I mean, what goes into figuring out how to present that kind of information? Because there's a lot of information to present in Old World to a player in Old World without them being kind of overwhelmed by symbols and icons and all sorts.
Yeah, to some extent, I do have to rely on the other members of the team for help with that. A lot of times I'll try to cram things in just wherever they fit, which isn't necessarily the best way to go about things. But no, there's definitely some degree of knowing what concepts are related, when you're going to be wanting to look at, just having a sense of how to group concepts, where things are going to come into play, that like where you'll want certain information while you're looking at something. It's trying to figure out which is most important, how to place things relative to each other so that it all just makes sense and it's easy to work with.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I've noticed it's a bit of an iterative process too, because I mean, even just a few months ago, some of the things that were presented on the screen are in different places now. And is that because as you guys kind of start to, of course, there's more game, some gameplay mechanisms still being added, but like as you guys start to see and play more, you realize that some of the user interface should be maybe changed in some ways to make it a bit more easy for the player to understand?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of that going on in the process. I mean, it's a lot of part of Mohawk's philosophy, as I understand it, like just the constant iteration. Sometimes you can have a theory of how things should work, how they might be best, but until you actually get in there and try it out, play through a few times, like you don't really get a sense of how it really goes. And also sometimes there are just things you miss, so the iteration helps a lot with that.
Yeah, I think what's strange about that is that I've been playing it for a very long time and I'll notice that things have changed in some ways and I'm like, wow, you know, like I didn't realize it, but that's actually better. Like, you know, you thought the UI was good 1 week and then 2 weeks later, the UI is actually making more sense to me. And that's cool that you guys iterate on that and make things better, because I do think you're right in that you wouldn't know it would be better until you tried it, because from even just a month ago, you would have thought the user interface was working really well, but it seems to keep getting better. So that seems to be working for you guys.
Yeah, it's a really nice process sometimes, especially when you know, like, there's something that you can work on that you think is going to be a big improvement based on like feedback, based on experience, then just having that sort of feeling is the great motivator for pushing forward with this sort of stuff, because building things can be a bit tedious at times.
Yeah, I'm sure. I wouldn't even know where to begin with a UI, like a user interface that would need to incorporate all the information that you get in Old World. So my hat's off to you guys for sure. I'm just curious, though, if we could step away from gaming for a moment. What kind of stuff do you do on, I mean, like, let's talk about Derek, right? So what does Derek do on his off time?
Honestly, these days, I don't really know. Like, I don't know. I've been looking for things to do. At various points in the past year, like, I've been involved with, like, just reading various books, playing games. So right now, like, recently, there hasn't been anything that's caught my attention. And part of it is also like with COVID and everything, just the past year, it's been limiting. Like I've never been a particularly active person going out and stuff, but I started working at Mohawk end of 2019. So there wasn't much time before the pandemic started to actually look around Baltimore, Maryland area, like because I had just moved there for the first time. So like I had all these plans for things I wanted to do, go around and see, and then that just kind of all disappeared. And now I'm back in New York.
Did you at least get to the aquarium?
I did not, unfortunately.
Oh no, that sucks. When everything blows over, you have to. It's a place that my family and I go to very often. It's amazing. It's one of the best in the country from what I understand. So yeah, I can understand that because, you know, of course, things slow down and life kind of comes to this crashing halt. And, you know, it's difficult to like kind of occupy yourself when there's not as much to do. But I'm curious, though, what kind of books have you been reading? What's your favorite genre?
Pretty decent amount of it was just nonfiction for a while. Like there's a stretch where I was really interested in behavioral economics type of things and like cognitive bias. So Thinking Fast and Slow, and then just a whole bunch of books like related to that. Not too much that sticks out in my mind right now, but yeah, I've been looking for more. At the same time, like I've been hesitant to really invest a lot of time in anything major just because it often feels like there's so much I want to work on still. Like there's a lot I'd like to get done, and the UI is so big. It's never ending.
I get it. So your work seeps into your personal life a little bit, right?
Yeah, I try my best to not let that happen, but it finds its ways to worm its way in there.
I understand that. And it's funny because I asked you that question about the books and I was like hoping for a book that I might be able to latch onto because I read a lot myself, but I don't think you and I are reading the same books.
Perhaps not. What sort of books do you read?
I'm usually a much more like, you know, fiction reader. I like a lot of science fiction and a lot of fantasy. So, you know, anything that goes up, even just like popular books too. So I'll read the popular ones that hit like the top 10 list. And when you said economics, it just was like, all right, that's it. I can't. I've got nothing on that.
Well, that's entirely fair. I just don't really keep up with current stuff all that well. There were a few fantasy series and such that I follow loosely, but nothing really that's been available recently.
And so what kind of games are you going to? I mean, like, are you able to really enjoy games still? Because I've heard a lot that, you know, once you start developing them, they're kind of hard to enjoy. But are you still able to enjoy games?
Yeah, definitely. The past year, probably a lot of my time was spent playing Hades, playing Through the Ages. Not sure what else there was in the past year. But yeah, there are a lot of games that still stick out in my mind as like things I really enjoy. Maybe a bit less in the sense that like strategy games I play a little less these days. Just, I don't know, maybe it's a little too close to work. It's a little too mentally taxing in some sense. Yeah, like 4X games I don't really play much anymore these days, unfortunately. But Old World is an off world. There's still things I definitely enjoy, but a bit less than when I started working on them. Once you get involved in the guts of a game, it's a little harder to like detach yourself from all that and just enjoy the experience as is.
I've heard that from so many people, and it's kind of the reason why I haven't gotten myself into games myself. I mean, I started to try to learn C# and some other programming languages, and I've realized that I it's like a big part of how I let go of things and how I, you know, unwind. And if I don't have that, I'm afraid that I won't have any way to unwind. So for me, it's been really difficult for me to actually get into video game development because I don't want to lose that. So I feel for you. What else do you do to unwind?
These days it really is mostly just games, but yeah, I'm still just looking for a game to really latch onto. Like I played some FTL recently, some things, like just digging through some of the older games I've played. Nothing's really grabbed me. And so I've just been kind of casually playing a few things here and there and then drifting back to work when just finding things to play.
So after your 10th Hades run, you're like, all right, it's calling me back. I have to figure out that user interface issue.
Yeah, there's definitely some of that.
I understand. So what kind of games are you dabbling in?
Been revisiting FTL. Still trying to get my first win on hard there. I'm playing a bit more Slay the Spire. Still trying to like advance there. Not so much Hades anymore. Kind of gotten through there. Just sometimes just little puzzle games here and there. And nothing too major at the moment.
Gotcha. So do you live by yourself?
Not at the moment. I've moved back to my family's house at the beginning of this year. There were a few circumstances with some things happened in my family that kind of made that situation.
Yeah, I understand. So, okay, good. So you're not, you know, which is unfortunate, right? Like there's a lot of people that, you know, kind of got stuck. When the pandemic started, you know, everybody kind of, there's some people that kind of got stuck where they were and they weren't able to move around. So you're with family at least. So that's good to hear. And you're back in Brooklyn where you grew up. So I'm just trying to figure out like what other things do you do? Do you have a dog? Do you, anything like that?
No, that's really all there is, unfortunately. I don't know. Recently started picking up some board games with friends again, so that's been nice. But yeah, there was a while last year where I was still in Baltimore, just kind of stranded. It's been rough finding things to do. Soon I'll probably be looking to actually pick up my license now that I've seen how problematic it can be to not have one. Kind of just opening things up a bit more, trying to see what's available. And part of the thing is, as much as I didn't really get to explore Baltimore all that much, I also just, even having lived here most of my life, I haven't done all that much in New York. Like just, it was only a few, like 2 years ago, I saw my first Broadway show, things like that. Like there's a lot to do actually that I haven't been able to do, but I haven't actually gone out and done. And that's something I'm looking to kind of branch out more into. once that's safe to do.
Yeah, maybe like a post-pandemic bucket list where you can just, you know, write down a bunch of things that you've never done and wanted to do and just start doing them.
Yeah, pretty much that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I've done a lot of the things that I've wanted to do. So I've lived a long time where I was doing whatever the heck I wanted to do. And so I'm now a much more responsible person. So I understand you work closely with Jason, who I interviewed before. Really great guy. And you guys are pretty close, right?
Yeah, like we're pretty much working together almost every day. Like just anytime that like stuff needs to get added to the UI or like we want to change the layout a bit, like just always a lot of back and forth. Like he's approaching things a lot more from the artist standpoint. How's this going to look? How can we make it look better? How can we space this better? How can like very artistic stuff that I don't necessarily always understand. Yeah, it's very productive in that sense because I think we both have different perspectives on how things need to look and should look, and just kind of bouncing that back and forth helps shape things up better.
So from what I'm hearing, is it more that you're the kind of guy that knows what needs to be shown and he's the kind of guy that figures out how to show it?
Yeah, that's a reasonably fair way to describe it. Like he'll do a lot of just how can we make this look good while still showing everything. I'll kind of nudge him sometimes and hey, maybe these things need to be tied together more closely because they're important related concepts. Ultimately, like all the technical stuff is generally needs to be handled by me. And yeah, there's some friction there at times, just, hey, I want to implement this effect, or I want to make things look a little fancier, make it a little more customized. But always some pushback on the coding side. Hey, it wouldn't be so simple to do.
Yeah. And so I'm curious too, are you the one behind the nested tooltips? Have you played a role in that? Because I think it's genius, whoever's created that, but like to go to keywords and be able to, you know, hit shift and then see a drop down for more tooltips. Are you part of that?
Unfortunately, I can't take credit for that. There are a lot of parts of the system that were already in place by the time I started working on the UI here. But yeah, that's definitely a really cool system. I've done my best to sort of help ease out little bugs with it or this little layout issues and stuff. But the core system was all in place pretty much by the time I started working on the game. So it's mostly been just iteration on that and optimization that I was doing.
Okay, so if we could go back and you could start all over again, where would you like to work if you had a choice? Like, what would be the best fit for Derek?
I'm not really sure. I mean, there's so much that goes into making a game that's I'm not all that familiar with. Like, because I don't have the computer science background in depth or any real game experience before working with Mohawk, it's kind of just been an exercise in immersing myself in the company, kind of just getting a sense of how everything all works together. I think always just having played a lot of games and stuff growing up, like you always have some interest in the design part of the game, of the work, just nudging how like mechanics work, trying to put together those systems. But it's really a very complex thing here. Like just, I know from working on the DLCs for Offworld, just trying to figure out the design elements there, even with like a really strong core system, it's just hard to get something that's like flows really well and is well balanced. So yeah, like working on the UI for Offworld has just been a good experience in that sense, just getting a deeper knowledge of like one part of the whole package and like just being able to experience everything else while going through that. Going forward, I'm happy to keep working on the UI. I think hopefully in a future project, the UI will be a bit less all-consuming, so that maybe I have a bit more spare bandwidth to like try to involve myself in other things. Like I've been probably less involved with design discussions and such than I kind of anticipated I would be coming into the job.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool to give yourself an opportunity to, like, a little bit of osmosis from Soren, right? Just to be able to kind of learn a little bit about how he designs games and learn from that. I mean, would that be something you'd ever want to do in the future? Like, maybe make your own game?
I'm not honestly sure. Like, I definitely enjoy the process of making games. Like, being involved in that is very gratifying in a lot of ways. I think I struggle a bit on terms of like actually having the ideas to like make a standalone sort of game. Like, just like with the DLCs for Offworld and such, like a lot of the design inspiration just based around what I actually need to do for the project. Like, the decisions I make are either based on, like, for Europa, is how might things on Europa actually work? So you have something concrete to pull from there. Like, if I'm starting from scratch, it kind of feels like too big a possible world. I think I'd have trouble limiting myself in a way that'd be productive.
Yeah, I can understand that too. So, all right. Well, hey, Derek, it's been great to get to know you. Where would we be able to find you if we could see, like, maybe find you on Twitter, or are you on the Discord?
Yeah, probably the best place to find me would be on Discord. There, I'm mostly known as Blues. You probably have a link to something or a profile or something there. But yeah, I spend a lot of time, like, it'd be easy to find me through Discord. That's pretty much the only social media I have any real activity on. Like, most other places, I'm just lurking.
I gotcha. Yeah, that's the same way with me too. But all right, great. So find him on Discord under Blues. And of course, that'll be in the profile below. But Derek, hey, it's been really great to get to know you. And thank you for kind of enlightening me on Brooklyn. I've always had this picture of something much different. So I really appreciate it.
Oh yeah, it's been great talking to you. Thanks for having me.